So today we have next hymn to Savitar. It's the last hymn to Savitar in our study, and then we will have three hymns to Surya. So it's second hymn to of Vasishtha, 7:45. Previous was 7:38, so there is a gap between them. They're not one after the other. So it's a very short hymn. And I hope we today finish it, and we will take another hymn to Surya next. So today we will do two hymns. Adevo yatu savita suratno antariksha pravahamano ashvaih haste dadhano nariya puruni niveshayan chaprasuvancha bhuma udasya bahu shithira brahanta Hiranyaya divo antan anashtan. Nunam so asya mahima panishta surashchit asma anudad apasyam. Sagha no devah savita sahava asa vishad vasupatir vasuni. Vishrayamano amatim uruchim. Martabhojanam adharasatenah. Ima girah savitaram sujihvam purnagabhastim ilate supanim chitram vayo brihadasme dadhatu yuyam pata suastibhih sadanah. Adevo yatu savita suratno antariksha pravahamano ashvaih haste dadhano nariya puruni Niveshayancha prasuvancha bhuma. May the god Savita come with his perfect riches, filling the space between heaven and earth, antariksha pra, carried by the steeds, vahamano ashvaih. And in his hand he holds many of the souls of men. You see, didn't put even what is many. It should be some word. Yes, what belongs of the souls of men. Something is there. Many things which belong to the souls of men. And in his hand he holds many. Can you say many a thing? Of the souls of man. Haste dadhano nariya puruni, moving the plenity into and out of the night. Bhuma, niveshayancha prasuvancha bhuma. Bhuma is as becoming or manifestation of the divine. He moves it in and out, as we know. With one hand he pulls it in, and with the other hand he pulls it out. So in his hand means hand is a symbol of power or extension of the being, the rays of light. The fingers are his rays of light by which he is introducing his power. So in his hands, in his power, he holds, you see, dadhana, nariya puruni, many reaches which these heroic souls of men here in manifestation need. We are seeking those reaches. And he distributes them with his hands, moving in and out the whole manifestation. In means into the night, Niveshayan. She is Niveshani. She is the introducer. And Prasuvan. And moving forward, or pushing it forward. Udasya bahu shithira brahanta hiranyaya divo antana nashtam nunam so asya mahima panishta surashchit asma anudada pasyam. Appraised his arms, ud asya bahu, ud, they are up, asya, of his bahu, two hands, soft and vast and golden, Shithira. Shithira, like trembling. Brihanta, vast. Hiranyaya, golden. They are golden and playing with light, as if light moves. You know, light trembles. Divyati. Yes. I am using playing because rudiv, to shine and to play, is the same. The play of the ray, and when it moves like this, vibrates. Reaching to the end of heaven, divo antan anashtam. Now one should admire that greatness of his, nunam so asya mahima panishta, or is admired, or should it be admired. It's from pan to admire. For even the sun yields to him in his action, surashchit asma anudad apasyam. Actually it is sura indeed to him gives apasyam, gives the work to do. So the sun is imparting onto the Savitar his work, apasyam, that which has to be realized here. So with his vibrating, vast, golden hands, he reaches to the end of heaven and earth, or to the last farthest corners of the heaven. Divo antan anashtam. Today, or now, saha, he, panishta, he, actually this mahima, this greatness of his should be worshipped. Surashchit asma, and because the sun to him, anudad, has given apasyam, the work to do. Now, this is the relation between the Savitar and the sun. We will come to the sun and we will see the difference. The sun is who is entrusting his work to the Savitar in manifestation. The sun is supramental manifestation. He is beyond. He is coming after Savitar. Savitar is coming first. He comes after the dawn. The dawn is first, then Savitar, and then the sun. When the disk of the sun is visible, it's no more the time of Savitar. It's the time of Surya. But before the disk is visible, it's a time of Savitar. And in that time before the disk is visible, after the dawn, the Brahmins all over India chant this Savitar, tat savitur varenyam. Even before, yes. So this is the Savitar who is propelling or impelling the light. We will see what he does to the sun. It will continue. Saghano deva savita sahava asavishad vasupatir vasuni vishrayamano amati muruchim marta bhojanam adharasatenah. Such is our God Savitar, the Lord of force, sahava, the Lord of shining wealth, vasupati. And vasu is that the dweller within the substance, as our soul is a dweller, the light within the substance. He should urge unto us his shining wealth, asavishad vasuni, spreading far his great splendor, vishrayamano amatim uruchim. Amatim is power, actually, uruchim, vast, vishrayamana, fixing it vast, his force. From Am. Yeah. I didn't even put it, but one should look into the dictionary, yes. And it depends, yes. It's from Am to move, so if this movement is there, it can be both light and power. It depends how you want to translate, yes. Adhara satenach. So he is bestowing upon us the enjoyment which is meant for the mortals, marta bhojanam. Bestowing upon mortals, those souls who entered manifestation. It is for them this marta bhojana, and we saw it already before, I think, yes? This term artha bhojana, the enjoyment of, or for mortals, is indicating specifically that the enjoyment is not for the spirits who did not take the material body, did not take a trouble to be born here, but for those who took a plunge into the inconscient. This mortal enjoyment, martha bhojanam, is of a special kind which attracts all the immortals. For only here in the physical body the consciousness of the Lord can be fully manifested. And this attracts all the forces of the infinite, which makes man in his inner and outer life a field of a constant battle between the gods and the asuras, the powers of light and darkness.
Target for gods and demons.
Yes, because through him they can enjoy this enjoyment, which is a very unique enjoyment, by the way. I'm coming back to it because Rudra is giving the same artha bhojanam, by the way. Unique in a sense that for the soul who is immortal, to have mortal enjoyment is a very unique thing. Have you seen these movies, funny movies, about those spirits who are helping us? Yes? City of Angels, for example. City of Angels. And he tells, he's very attracted to the taste, how peanut butter tastes. And he's so thrilled about it. He says, this is an amazing how taste is arranged. Because taste can be only in the mortal enjoyment. This is exactly mortal bhojana. This martha bhojana is, you cannot have the taste of peanut butter in that type of world. Yes. You do not know how it tastes, how the touch feels. And it is very attractive, by the way. We are taking it for granted. We think it's nothing. Yeah. We are all great tapasvins. We are rigid.
Huh? We think the paradise is 1,000 times more than that.
Yeah, we think that. Yes, but they think differently. By the way, Chandogya Upanishad speaks interestingly about this. She says that she, because Upanishad is she, yes, it's in a Strilingam, that for man the heaven is heaven and the earth is earth, but for the gods heaven is earth and earth is heaven. For them heaven is here. They are not interested in their own heaven anymore. They are looking for another heaven, and that is earth. And we are all, you know, shooting there. No, we don't want taste. We are all sannyasins and ascetics. We don't like the taste of peanut butter. No, no. We are so old. Because we are interested in that heaven. But for them, it's different.
It's like ganesh, often pictured with sweets. He likes sweets so much.
Yes, laddus. He was poor. You know the story why the belt on his belly is this snake. That poor snake wanted to tempt him and to feed him with laddus, because the snake knew, the snake was coming from the bad side, wanted to kill Ganesha, and gave him the whole hill of laddus. So Ganesha started eating, his belly grew, and popped. Yeah? And then, belly broke. So he took all the laddus in into the belly, and was looking around how to tie it up. Oh, the snake is there. Took the snake. That's why the snake is on his belly.
He didn't forget to put laddus there.
Yeah. Laddus had to go in. So it's that bhojanam. Yeah? Actually, yes, all these enjoyments here, if we would be free in a way that our spirit will be there at the same time, when we don't lose ourselves, this enjoyment becomes unique. It's a very interesting, everything is interesting. There is nothing here which is against us once we are free. But when we are not free, it becomes something else. Well, one thing is to offer, it doesn't work always. We offer mechanically, yes or no. Very good.
But at least
to remember
before.
At least.
At least some people want to remember.
On Sunday to the church, I remembered now the time is to enjoy life, yes? Out of confession, straight into sin. And then again to confession, sorry, I sinned, you know. And then waiting, just waiting for the next possibility. That's how everybody does, it seems, because the enjoyment is such an attracting thing. But if we would be really free and we would see as the Lord, yes, as the first Isha Upanishad says, all this is for His habitation. Enjoy yourself with all this as He enjoys Himself. Being free from the object of enjoyment, then it becomes something unique. Then both can be present, the unborn spirit and the particularities of enjoyment of Marta Bhojanam. Then it becomes unique. Something what Mother says as additional ananda, that ananda of unity which you can experience from the circuit of ananda, yes? It's additional, it's plus to that ananda of identity. Ananda of identity is something we carry within ourselves, but ananda of unity which comes from these differences, diversity, unexpected things, this enjoyment is plus to it. So this is Marta Bhojana, that plus to the major enjoyment of oneself, something extra. Actually, for this purpose, He created the world, for that extra enjoyment. So Marta Bhojana plays a huge role. It's not a small thing, peanut butter, how it tastes. Savitara is following her. She is, he is, so to say, how do we call her? Wife? Partner? Nowadays we say partners, yes? She is his partner. Yes. She actually attracts him into manifestation with her light. She comes with her light and pulls him in. And he follows her like it is said, we will read about this in Kutsan Girasa's hymn, as young man follows young woman. He runs after her wherever she goes to realize all his desires. But look how beautifully image is used, differently. It's not a vulgar image. To realize his desires in manifestation, because she is the force which will manifest him here. Exactly. Yes, this is the symbol. Well, some people try nowadays, do all kind of things. But it doesn't work. Not yet. Maybe soon they will find out how to do without Usha. These voices, Imagirah, are singing, adoring perfectly, or singing perfectly to Savitar, or adoring perfectly Savitar. Savitaram sujihvam ilate. Sri Aurobindo translates this ir root as seeking with adoration. It's even more beautiful. These voices are seeking him with adoration. No, singing is seeking with adoration. It's nothing else. It's already wanting him. He's not yet there. But the voice is already kind of traveling, seeking somewhere that being about which we are singing, whose hands are full of gifts and beautiful, purna gabhasti. His hands are full with supani. He has beautiful, perfect hands. Establish in us your vast power, full of light. Chitram bayo brahatasme dadhato. And you, O gods, protect us with your blessings. You yampata sovastibhi sadhanah. This is the last verse in this hymn, The first line can be also translated, these voices seek, yes, I just said, with adoration the creator Savitar, whose word is perfect. Sujiva, whose voice, whose expression is perfect, yeah? Whose tongue is perfect, who is full of light. Where is full of light? Don't see it? Okay, Gavasti can be also that, a ray of light. With perfect arms, Supani, with perfect arms reaching out perfectly, arranging by force. It is by his perfect arms that he should establish in us this luminous and vast power, Chitram Vayo Brahad, Asme Dadahat, Asme Asmasu, in us. It's a Vedic word. Chitram, again, full of light of consciousness. Vayas, again, this word. Space, vast space. Can be many meanings in Vayas. No, it's from V root. Now we are moving into three hymns of Surya, only three hymns of Surya in the Rig Veda. It's 150, 115 and 1037. I found this 1037 only recently. Somehow I didn't see it. And this hymn adds so much to the whole concept. So many things which were kind of missing are there. So today we will look into this first one of Praskanva Kanva, of the first mandala. And this is also a very famous hymn because the last three shlokas is called Roga Ghana Upanishad. By these three shlokas one can destroy any disease. It's known as a miraculous mantra which does cure all kinds of diseases. Yes, destroying disease. Roga is disease, Gna is from Han, killing, striking the disease. Udu tyam jata vedasam devam vahanti ketavah dreshe vishvaya suryan apatye tayavoyatha nakshatrayanti aktubhih suraya vishva chakshase adrishram asya ketavo virashmayo janan anu bharajanto agnayo yatha taranir vishvadarshato jyotishkrid asi surya vishvam abhasi rochanam pratyan devanam vishah pratyan udeshi manushan pratyan vishvam suardrishe yena pavaka chakshasa bhuranyantam janan anu tuvam varuna pashyasi vidyam eshi rajas prithu aha mimano aktubhih pashyan janmani surya saptatva harito rathe vahanti deva surya shochishkesham vichakshana ayukta saptashun dhyuah suro rathasya naptiyah tabhir yati svayuktibhih Udvayam tamasa spari, jyotish pashyanta uttaram devam devatra suryam aganma jyotir uttamam. Here I will stop, I will not read these last three, Roga Gna Upanishad, because it's a little bit, you will read if you want for yourself, if you have time we will go to it, if you want to know it, you are most welcome also to apply it magically to some kind of disease. I tried also to do it. It looked like it worked, but you never know, you know.
Probably you have to be in a special state.
Many things are probable in this. So, udutyam jata veda sam devam vahanti ketavak drishe vishvaya suryam. The beams of consciousness carry the god Jatavedas up for all to see the sun. Now look at this simplistic statement. Udutyam jata vedasam devam vahanti ketavah. Ketavah, ketu, is from ruchi, to see, to perceive, the beam of light or the beam of consciousness. The beams of consciousness, vahanti, carry the god devam. Jata vedasam. Jata vedas, the one who knows all the births. This is Agni. That Agni, who knows all the births, the god, the rays of consciousness carrying up, ud vahanti, they bring him up. Drishe, to see Vishvaya, for all Suryam, the sun. For all to see the sun. Do you see the meaning? What a powerful meaning. So the Jata Vedas, the divine will which is growing within manifestation, is carried up by the beams of light, by the beams of consciousness or of the Savitar. So this knowledge within, I do not know what, this manifestation carries the divine will up for all to see the sun. Yes, because he is involved in every being. So all will be seeing the sun. So it is not even him. It is somebody else there behind him who carries him up. For all to see the beams, the sun, the beams of light of consciousness carry the divine power, the divine will, Agni, to its summit. The Godhead growing within the material in conscience is carried by the beams of light of consciousness upward for all to see the all manifesting sun. So in this verse, the relation between Surya and Agni is brought out. It's not even Savitar anymore. This is about Surya. Surya and Agni is brought out in the most poetic way. Agni, the divine will, is here to bring all to the vision of the sun. So, and it is carried by the hidden beams of consciousness within this manifestation, which are coming, these beams, from the supermind. But we do not know it. We do not see it until we see it.
So we are related in both terms. They are meeting here.
Yes. Yes, and the major rising of fire is to reach the sun. Basically, it's the vision of the Veda. Yes, the fire is rising to heaven to reach the sun, because the sun is his higher manifestation. So it is the sun who is moving here as the divine will within manifestation. Apatyata yavo yatha nakshatrayanti aktubhih suraya vishvachakshase. Away they pass, like thieves, who move in the night, the stars and constellations for the sun to come, who sees all. Now, the comparison is a very unique. Away they pass, they move away like thieves in the night. The stars and constellations. The stars and constellations are moving away for the sun to rise and for all to see the sun. These stars and constellations are symbols of the souls involved in the night. But they are not yet realized to see the oneness of their own light. So they are separated by night. They are separate stars. It is the image of the evolution of consciousness, the light which is growing here in the night of our fallen self, in the nature, is compared to the stars of the dark sky. They all will pass when the sun, the supramental manifestation, will come, yes? Which sees all and all see it. It's also very important that not only it sees all, but all also see it. Vishvachakshase, to the all to have the sight of it, for the all to have an eye of it, to perceive it for all, that we have oneness, that we are not separated beings as stars in the night. So we will pass through that stage and give him a place for this manifestation. I will go into this more. It's a very beautiful image in Savitri also. Sri Aurobindo uses this imagery in its deepest meaning in his Savitri. The voice of the Supreme speaks to Savitri, explaining to her in the moment of her doubts the meaning of the sacrifice, the work she came to do here. That her personal salvation in the dark night is not the purpose of her coming here, but to open to light the eyes of all that could not see. Her personal salvation is compared to the one shining star in the inconscience realm, or one door in the ignorance opened upon light. It's like a door in the darkness opened upon light. Only one door, but not the whole sun with all the rays. Yes? But she is the day bringer, the voice says. She has to bring the day, the sun. If for thy own sake only thou hast come, says the voice, an immortal spirit into the mortal's world, to found thy luminous kingdom in God's dark, in the inconscience realm, one shining star, one door in the ignorance opened upon light, why hadst thou any need to come at all? If you are only here to shine in the dark, as a star separate for yourself, and seeking your own salvation from that dark, there was no need to come. This is Sri Aurobindo. And I'm saying this because it is related to the Veda here in the same way. For all to see the sun. This is the purpose, the meaning of this manifestation. It's not to shoot, and these stars like thieves in the dark. They give a way for the sun to rise. This is important, like thieves. Yeah? Because thieves are exactly that. They are for their own purpose here. They are not yet for the purpose of manifesting the divine. They are still separate in their own light. Thou hast come down into the struggling world to aid a blind and suffering mortal race, to open to light the eyes that could not see, all eyes, not her own, to bring down bliss into the heart of grief, to make thy life a bridge twixt earth and heaven. This is all Vedic imagery. If thou wouldst save the toiling universe, the vast universal suffering field is thine. Thou must bear the sorrow that thou claimst to heal. The daybringer must walk in the darkest night. This is the beautiful imagery from Savitri. Ashvapati is also compared with a star in the mindless night, awaiting the arrival of the dawn, who in the Veda is the beloved of the sun, being followed with love by him into the realms of material manifestation. Now look at this. As shines a solitary witness star that burns apart light's lonely sentinel, in the drift and teeming of a mindless night, a single thinker in an aimless world awaiting some tremendous dawn of God. Some tremendous dawn, because the dawn will bring the light of the sun. She is the first who brings this light. He saw the purpose in the works of time. He is waiting, but he already sees the purpose. He already understands what he is waiting for. Even in that aimlessness, a work was done, where there is night everywhere, pregnant with magic will and change divine. Pregnant, the word is very important, because the night is pregnant with the light. Yes? That light is rising in the night. This is the Vedic imagery. The night is pregnant with the light of her twin sister dawn, the image often used in the Rig Veda and also in Savitri by Sri Aurobindo. And he ends his Savitri with these words. numberless the stars, swam on their shadowy field. Shadowy field, swam, numberless the stars. The stars are the souls, the bringers of light. They swam in that ocean, in that shadowy field, describing in the gloom the ways of light. Describing by their movement. Look at this beautiful. Then, while they skirted yet the southward verge, Dakshinayana, to embody the light, yeah, to manifest the light in the lost in the halo of her musing brows, night, splendid with the moon dreaming in heaven in silver peace, possessed her luminous reign. She brooded through her stillness on a thought, deep guarded by her mystic folds of light, and in her bosom nursed a great dawn. This is the power of the Vedic vision, insight. This is what I believe. Some people think that Vedic vision is something inferior or smaller, but I think that we didn't yet even touch that vision. We have no idea what it is about. And there is hardly anybody here in India or abroad who actually came closer to it, because it's of such a universal nature that we are not prepared to see it. We are too mentalized. We are already philosophers. We are conceptualized. We need clear-cut definitions. We don't see that beauty of that imagery. This imagery also nobody sees, what Shobhendra writes. It's impossible to see it. It's an experience of some kind. And it is still charged with certain imagery. It's not just arbitrary imagery. It is functional.
It touches really
deeply. So adrishram asya ketavu virashmayo janananu bhrajanto agnayo yatha. The beams of consciousness are seen, the rays spreading wide over all those, or following all who are born here in the body, like the blazing flames of Agni. So those stars which bring, like beautifully, which bring these who are born in the body, these are like stars in the darkness, and they, after them there is this, or following them, Janan Anu, Rashmayak, following of the sun. And look here what Sri Aurobindo says, describing in the gloom the ways of light, exactly by their movement, these stars, they are. There is the light following them everywhere, because they are from the realm of light. They will create light around themselves. They will illumine the darkness with their own small light yet, but waiting for the sun to come, to rise. Taranir Vishvadarshato Jyotishkrit Asi Surya. He's Jyotishkrit. He's the maker of light. Vishvam Abhasi Rochanam. You are swift, O Surya, seeing all, maker of light, illumining all luminous region from above. Taranir, very fast, swift, everywhere present. Vishvadarshatah, seeing all or seen by all. Jyotishkrit, maker of light, Asi, you are, O Surya. Vishvam abhasi rochanam, and you illumine all rochanam, all luminous realm. Rochanam is that realm of svar, usually, which is also moving through all, seeing all the creator of light, you are, Surya. All luminous realm, Vishvam rochanam, you come to illumine here, abhasi. Or you simply illumine it, yes? How can Surya illumine luminous realm? That's a question.
Huh?
The overmental plane is a luminous realm, Rochana. There are actually three of them, yes? Three Rochana, mentioned many times. Overmind, gnosis, overmind, and intuition. Here they are mentioned as one realm of light, which Surya comes to illumine. Surya is not Svar world. Svar world is rather the world of those great godheads, and maybe Savitar has also something to do with that, but not Surya. He comes to illuminate, for he is the creator of light, the maker of light, Jyotishkrit. He is not shining by the light, he is making light, and the seer of the universe, Vishwadarshata. Sri Aurobindo in Savitri describes how far the world of the supramental truth is from the luminous world of the overmind. It's a very interesting passage, often quoted. The radiant world of the everlasting truth, the supermind, glimmered like a faint star bordering the night above the golden overmind's shimmering ridge. You can imagine how far it is from the overmind. So our understanding of these things is very approximate. So when the supramental sun descends into the golden overmind, it illumines it like its all-creating light of knowledge. This Jyotishkrit is an important word. You will not find it anywhere else used, only for the sun. At least I didn't find it. Jyotishkrit, the maker of light, not shining with the light, luminous, but the maker of light.
It's probably because it's manifesting in the physical as a sun. So it has many different bodies as anyone.
Physical is a part of it, yes.
Part of it. But the other, like Savitar, doesn't have a physical manifestation, the maker of his manifestation. But Surya already is a presence.
Yeah. Savitar is not the light maker. It's interesting. Yeah. He's the Lord of the whole thing, but Surya is the self of all things. So that even material self, yes, is.
He has all the levels
Pratyang Devanam Vishat, Pratyang Udeshi Manushan, Pratyang Vishvam Sovardrishe. For both gods and men you rise above. For both gods and men you rise above. For all to see Svar. His comma has to be. The supramental sun is rising for all to see the luminous realms of Svar, for it is here in the manifestation that we could see these luminous realms illumined by the sun. Svar itself is only a reflected light, as it were. You know? It shines with the light of the supramental sun. Bhati prati bhati. You remember Katha Upanishad? It is all only reflecting his light, but it is not making light. The light is only reflected in manifestation. The sun is facing pratyak. Both man, Manushan, and gods, Devanam Vishach. For it is coming from behind of both of them. It is not representative of the gods, and it is not representative of man. It has its own reality, facing both.
It's
Svara is that luminous realm of overmental consciousness, which creates all this what is here, yes? That our first transcendence. I know it's so complicated that we have not one but several transcendences in the Veda, yes? And that is what we have to be used to now. It's a complicated language, but without it our knowledge is very primitive, conceptual. There is one transcendence which is Svar, and there is the higher transcendence which is beyond Svar, supramental transcendence. And there is other transcendence which is beyond the supermind, which is Sachidananda, yes? Transcendental itself. And I must tell you, there is one more transcendence beyond Sachidananda, beyond Asat. There is somebody there, some supreme reality, as Mother says, the supreme person, unknown to us, which we cannot know, who is free from his being and non-being. Free. It doesn't have to be to be or not to be. It's not his dilemma. It's our dilemma. So if we see all this transcendence... Yeah.
Sorry, maybe it's also useful to see many times Mara is also called the world in the rays of the sun. So you can see it's just
yes.
The first thing which comes out of the sun. Let's say, it exists in the rays of the sun.
It is the world of the ray of the sun. A ray of the sun represents this world here, manifested in this particular way. Find deep. Yena pava kachakshasa bhuranyantam janan anu tuvam varuna pashyasi. Now varuna comes. The eye or purifier by which you see all men engaged in the sacrificial work of Varuna. And I go next. Vidyameshi rajaspratua hamimano aptubhi pashyan janmani surya. By that you move through heaven and the wide space, measuring our days by the night, seeing all those who are born here, O Sun. Now, you come and diffuse your light into the shining heaven, Vidyameshi, and into the vast space of the vital and physical consciousness, Rajas Prithu. Interesting, such a brief language. Rajas space, Prithu vast, but Prithu is suggesting Prithivi, the earth, the vast sustaining foundation for manifestation. Measuring our days by the nights. Aha mimano. Measuring. Ahani mimano. Measuring. Aktubih. With the nights. Aktubih can be translated by the nights. Measuring our days. Or by the rays of light. Yes. So both translations are valid. You see all the births taking place here. Because by this measuring, all measuring movement, the birth is taking place in the darkness, the rays projecting, the stars are shining. It is a description of how Varuna can see the toiling man on earth by the light of the sun spreading into the triple lower hemisphere by which we can see all in detail. He can see all. This Varuna is here mentioned, yes? Tuvam Varuna Pashyasi. Yena, by what, yes, pavaka, or purifier, chakshasa, by what sight, by what vision, by what eye, you see bhuranyantam janananu, you see after, so to say, this working or sacrificing, toiling creatures involved in manifestation. Because we are only creatures involved to bring him into manifestation. So, and he follows us with his vision and sees what is happening. And Varuna is the Lord of Sat, is the Lord of the Divine Being. So he has to see and know what is happening within Sat. It is with the light of the sun, of the ray of the sun, that he can perceive and see this movement of the soul. It is through the supermind that transcendental knows, transcendental Sat, knows what is happening in this manifestation. Saptatva harito rathe vahanti deva surya shochishkesham vichakshana. And seven horses of Surya carry you all over with your golden flaming hair in your chariot, O God, seeing wide. Now seven horses are mentioned. Seven are the horses of Surya, symbolizing the seven powers of consciousness carrying it all over. Now these seven horses or seven there will be again Ayukta Sapta Shunyuah. I will continue and it will explain. Suro Radhasyanaptiyah Tabhir Yati Svayuktibhih. The sun has yoked his seven, his bright seven, the daughters, Naptiyah, hands or fingers sometimes, of the car, of his chariot. They are as if extensions, rays of his own car, Radhasya Naptiyah, by which he moves, for they are well connected to him, or well controlled, svayuktibhih, they are well united, perfectly or directly united, yes, themselves are part of this chariot.
Yes, that's an interesting image, that it's one being.
Yes. And actually, his Radha in other place is spoken of as Vishwarupa. It is the form of the universe. His chariot is the universe. And all these rays of light, what we see, all these nakshatras, all these stars and constellations are nothing but his manifestation. It is his Radha. It is his car, this universe in which he moves. And it is even said that it is ornamented with the stars, and these stars are like the nails into which the, you know, the, there was an image of this medieval Europe where the knight was seen as if they were nails on the black sheath somewhere there, put light, that it was a hard foundation. They didn't know that it was a space. So in a way, in the same manner, the car is described as if these are the rays or the nails are put into this to make it beautiful. So this Vishwarupa, this all universal form of Savitar, of Surya, in which he moves, has seven horses which he yokes to move in this chariot. And seven horses of Surya carry you all over. Carry you all over. Whom all over? The sun. The supramental being is all over, carried by these seven horses. With your golden flaming hair in your chariot, seeing wide. Ayukta Saptashun Yuvah. The sun has yoked his bright seven, the daughters, the hands or fingers of the car by which he moves, for they are well connected to him or to the his chariot. Yes? These seven horses are part of his power. They are the extensions of his own self, as it were, or rather of his car, which elsewhere is referred to is Vishwarupa, the form of the universe. These seven horses are the part of the universal manifestation. And the final verse for today, Udvayam tamasaspari jyotish pashyanta uttaram devam devatra suryam aganma jyotir uttamam. About the darkness, seeing the higher light, we've come to Surya, God among the gods, the Light Supreme. About the hemisphere of darkness we see the higher light. Ud vayam tamasas pari, ud tamasas. About the tamas, pari, jyotish pashyanta uttaram. We see the higher light. Uttaram, higher than tamas. Devam devatra suryam, and the god Surya among the gods, Agamma, we come, Jyotish, to the light Uttamam, to the light supreme. Uttaram is higher, Uttamam the highest. So there is no higher light. Uttamam, Uttamam, the highest, the most uplifted. So to say, above the tamas, we see first transcendence of light, Savar, what you were asking. But we come through that passage, we come to the sun, who is the highest, the supreme light. There is no more to reach after that, no higher light. Above the hemisphere of darkness, we see the higher light encompassing it. But when we come to Surya, the divine among the gods, we arrive at the highest light. This is a definition of the two transcendences over the darkness, the world of Svar, and over the Svar world, the light of the sun. The sun. The world of Svar is the world of the ray of the sun, and above it there is the sun, the supreme light. So here I would like to stop for today. This verse is often quoted. Yes, and Kiri Joshi is quoting in every speech. Whenever it comes to the sun, this will be the verse when he will mention, because it is the supreme light, higher than the highest. Without any mistake, you can see the language is so simple that you can understand it immediately. Yes? Aganma may be only aorist, otherwise Agachama, yes? Vayam Agachama. Aganma. Yes? Actually, even this Ganapati Muni was using this mantra, by the way, to cure, and it was very successful. He says, with this mantra you can cure any disease. Okay? This is the only practical, yes, part of our course. Finally we found something useful. Implementation, yes. Okay, prepare yourself for the surprise. What is the time, by the way? Five? Okay, I can read to you, and then you can read from the files we have on our website and think about it. Udhyana dhyamitra maha arohan uttaram divam haridrogam mama surya harimanam chanashaya shukeshu me harimanam ropanakasu dadhamasi atho haridraveshu me harimanam nidadhamasi ud agat ayam adityo vishvena sahasa saha dvishantam mahyam randhayan mo aham dvishate radham. So the translation will be something like this. Rising today, O Surya, with the greatness of Mitra's consciousness, to the higher heaven, destroy the disease of my heart and this yellow coloring. Some people say hepatitis or typhoid, jaundice. Yeah. Can be. Maybe we don't know what will happen to us when we start supramentalizing all kind of things. Too many Chinese people will appear on earth supramentalized. Shukeshu me harimanam ropanakasu dadhamasi atho haridraveshu me harimanam nidadhamasi. We put this yellowness of mine into the bright ones and the birds which have yellowness. My yellowness we fully put onto them. Some flying birds are there for us. Shuka. Shuka is a papagai, you know. Papagai is waiting there to catch up with that yellowness and to carry it away. Ud agat ayam adityo vishvena sahasa saha dvishantam mahyam randhayan moham dvishatera dham. The Aditya rose up with all his power, delivering me from the hater, not hater from me. Destroying enemy for me, not me for enemy. If you look deeper into the meaning of the last verse, we will find that the choice of words has its meaning. Dvish, dvishat, the enemy, the dualizer, and therefore hater. Rutrand, rad, to dominate and subject, which may be translated then as bring dualizer into my subjection and not me into his. Yeah? The topic often mentioned in the Veda, especially in relation with Agni, Abhishyama, Pritsutir Martiyana, may we overcome the oppressions of the mortals. May they be dependent on my light, rather than my light depend on those dualizers. Because the dualizers are living in the darkness. This is a part of our deal, of our sacrifice. We came into this darkness with the light, and we became a subject to it. Now the question is, please don't subject us to these dark forces. Make them subject to us, to our light. Yes. So this is the end of the hymn. I am glad that I covered it because we have two more hymns and we will take Kutsa and Girasa on Monday. This is a very important hymn on Monday.